Tucker!
This has got to be the saddest day of my life. I called you here today for a bit of bad news.
No, Tucker.
I won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations.
Tucker!
And the ties that you have.
Tucker!
Meeting here every day. Since this is our last day together.
No, Tucker.
I want to hold you just one more time.
Oh, one more time, Tucker.
When you turn away and walk away, baby, don't look back.
I gotta look back, Tucker.
I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
No, Tucker, no!
I had to meet you yesterday. There's just so many things to say, yeah. Please don't stop me till I'm through.
Tucker, Swanson, McNair, Carlson, what did you do? That's his full name, did you know that? Tucker, Swanson, McNair, Carlson. So, cut him some slack, I guess. With a name like that, he really had no choice but to grow up to be an a-hole. Don Lemon, what did you do? That's his full name? Don Lemon? Not even Donald? Oh, Don Carlton Lemon. Ooh, wait a minute. Carlson? Carlton? And they were fired at the same time? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? You don't think they were the same person, do you? I claim that conspiracy. Nobody steal that. That's mine. So, Tucker was fired for being Tucker, and Don Lemon was fired apparently for not treating female co-workers very nice. I could see that. I could see that with Don Lemon. He tended to rub me the wrong way sometimes. I don't know. Just something about Don Lemon. I don't know. He seemed like he was someone who took himself too seriously. So I don't know what went on there, but I'm sure you've gotten your fill of Tucker and outrageous clips by now. I apologize once again. Welcome to the Comparison Group podcast. Probably should have put a show out as soon as the news broke, but again, busy. But I wanted to try and get it out now because I don't want the news to pass. I probably wouldn't have put a show out for another few days, but I want to put a show out to talk about some things having to do with Tucker Carlson. Why not? Then I'll get to the main topic, what really the show is supposed to be about, the potential matchup between Donald Trump and Joe Biden for the 2024 election. We'll get to that. All right. So I don't forget. Thank you again. Thank you so much. The numbers have been good. So you're sharing. I know you are. No other way people would find out about the show unless you're sharing it. So again, if you don't get the feedback, I got to remember to give it to you here. I'll tell you if the numbers are up. I'll tell you if the numbers are down. I'll tell you if an episode does well. I'll tell you if an episode doesn't do so well. A lot of the sharing seems to be in past shows, not even necessarily the most recent shows. So I don't know what that's all about. You know, people gravitate towards certain titles, certain shows, which, hey, whatever. It's fine. I'm just glad people are listening. So thank you so much again for sharing the show. Please continue. All right. Back to Tucker. Like I said, I'm sure you got your fill of him at this point, and you've heard a bunch of clips. I just want to play one for you and just talk about it a little bit, because to me, it's the one clip that defines him the most. The one clip that defines him and makes me wonder about the audience that was so loyal to him. Give a listen to this clip.
Last year, we learned that China has quickly developed the world's largest naval force. In 2015, China had 255 battle force ships. Now they have more than 360. And many of those ships are more capable than anything in the American naval fleet. So how are we responding to this? Well, at the White House yesterday, Joe Biden addressed it effectively. What's the American military's response? Here's what Joe Biden said.
Some of it's relatively straightforward work, where we're making good progress designing body armor that fits women properly, tailoring combat uniforms for women, creating maternity flight suits, and updating requirements for their hairstyles,
So we've got new hairstyles and maternity flight suits. Pregnant women are going to fight our wars. It's a mockery of the U.S. military. While China's military becomes more masculine as it's assembled the world's largest navy, our military needs to become, as Joe Biden says, more feminine, whatever feminine means anymore, since men and women no longer exist. The bottom line is, it's out of control, and the Pentagon's going along with this. Again, this is a mockery.
I hope you could hear that okay. It was from 2 years ago. A lot of people probably remember it. Tucker Carlson is talking about how the Chinese military is becoming more masculine, and in response, Joe Biden and our military is becoming more feminine because Joe Biden is talking about the military designing maternity flight suits and body armor designed more for the female frame. So, not only is Tucker an a-hole, but he's an uninformed a-hole. Because the military started the idea of designing body armor and maternity flight suits during the Trump administration, not Biden. Not to mention the fact, Tucker looks like a guy who couldn't fight his way through a case of the Mondays. He's going to talk to us about the Chinese military, and he couldn't fight his way through a plate of spicy Chinese food. And he's telling us, women who say, hey, listen, give me a uniform that fits and a gun, and I'll go kill terrorists. That's a mockery? That's a mockery of the U.S. military? I wouldn't care if these women wore a sundress and a pair of strappy sandals, as long as they're shooting at the same people I'm shooting at. Who thinks like this? Who thinks like Tucker Carlson to say that? Who sits, reads the copy of what's been prepared for him that night on his show, and doesn't say, wait a second, why would I be calling women who are willing to risk their lives going to fight for this country a mockery? Why would I do that? Why would anyone sit there and listen to him do that? And what's the result? What has always been the result, or not always, but, you know, the last several years, the result of stuff like that coming from Tucker Carlson? People, mostly men, feel an obligation to defend it because you have to defend Tucker Carlson. Politicians, men in general, they have to defend that nonsense. Because they know how important a voice Tucker Carlson has been on the right. So no matter what craziness came out of his mouth, the end result was there were people, some people in very important positions, that had to defend it, that had to go along with it, that couldn't stand up and say, Tucker, what the heck are you talking about? As a result, do you know what the biggest obstacle to women in this country is? What's the biggest obstacle to women in this country? Men. Men. Men are the biggest obstacle to women in this country. Men like Tucker Carlson. I'm going to throw this out there, see if you catch it. If you replaced every single coach, top to bottom, in the NFL, every team, with women instead of men, if you replaced the entire front office, ownership, general manager, scouts, replaced them all with women instead of men in the NFL, in 2 weeks, you would not notice a difference. Wouldn't notice a difference. You would have men like Tucker Carlson screaming, this makes a mockery of the NFL. And in 2 weeks, you'll have guys sitting at home screaming at the TV, you're going to run it up the middle on 3rd and 3 again, Coach Martha Stewart? Call a play-action pass. You know Martha Stewart will probably coach the San Francisco 49ers. But you wouldn't notice a difference in the games. Within 2 weeks, you would not notice a difference. As far as players on the field, well, back in 1972, Title IX passed, which prohibited institutions that receive federal funding from discriminating in education or athletics based on gender. In other words, let the girls play. I refer you to a USA Today article from August of 2021, so roughly about 20 years later, an article titled, U.S. Women Dominated Medal Count at Tokyo Olympics in Ways They Never Have Done Before. This is from the article. If U.S. women were their own country, they would have finished 4th in the Olympic medal count, ahead of Great Britain, Japan, Australia, Germany, and nearly 200 other countries. So 20 years after opening up sports to women in the U.S., U.S. women aren't just dominating U.S. men at the Olympics, they're dominating the entire world at the Olympics. And Tucker Carlson would have called, and maybe did, who knows, Title IX, a mockery. A mockery. I'm not pandering to women. I'm really not. Honestly, I'm not pandering to women. What you hear me say all the time on this podcast, it's about the country for me. I'm not even trying to make some big stand soapbox speech about misogyny. It's about the country for me. It's about people like Tucker Carlson, who, because of their misogyny, would rather weaken the country, whether it's at the Olympics or whether it's in our military, because of their prejudice, because of their misogyny against women, that people in power then have to cooperate with, then have to go along with, then have to stick their head in the sand about. People in power who make laws that discriminate against women because they heard it on Tucker Carlson. Well, at least not for a little while. I'm sure he'll be back in some form or another, but at least for a little while, they won't hear it from Tucker Carlson. That's my take. And listen to me now. I don't expect hard right people to listen to this show. I don't expect hard left people to listen to this show. I wish they would. I wish they would and they got something out of it. But I don't expect it. But if they were listening right now, if they just happen to be listening, I would say it's okay to stop liking people. It's okay. Especially when you learn something new about them. Something so unexpected and disturbing, you almost have no choice but to stop liking them. It's okay. Tucker was playing his audience for saps. He would say one thing on the air and then something completely different off the air. Now, is he the only person in media doing that? Left or right? No, of course not. But come on. Come on. His two-faced lies get people killed. The tragic killing of Ashley Babbitt, as I've mentioned many times. Would she or anyone else have been at the Capitol on January 6th if Tucker Carlson and others weren't amplifying lies about the election? Lies they knew were lies? We now know they knew were lies? And we can rewrite history about COVID all we want. And it's okay to admit the CDC and Fauci and Biden didn't get everything correct about COVID. And the vaccine didn't work exactly as promised. And there may be some unfortunate side effects down the line with billions upon billions upon billions of shots given. I'll concede all of that to you. But is there any doubt, if you took the vaccine and you got COVID, you stood a much better chance of not ending up dead? Is there any doubt about that now, particularly if you had some sort of a underlying condition? But there are people who didn't. There are people who had those underlying conditions, smokers, overweight, diabetes, whatever, that didn't take the vaccine and ended up dead because of lies. Lies that made people take ivermectin. Lies that made people take hydroxychloroquine. Look, it's okay to stop liking someone when you find out something. And the things we're finding out about Tucker Carlson is not even denying. He's not even denying it. He's not denying the text messages or that he was saying that the election stop to steal stuff was a lie or was fake behind the scenes while he was promoting it on his show. He's not denying that he hates Donald Trump at the same time he was praising Donald Trump on his show. He's not denying any of that. Look at it this way. If you meet a guy and he's the guy of your dreams, he says all the right things. You tell your friends, I'm in love. I'm in love. He really gets me. We're going to move in together. It's magical. Then 6 months later, you come home one day and he's wearing a diaper and a baby's bonnet. He tells you he's in the infant play and wants you to change him and give him his bottle. You're out of there. You would be out of there. You would say, just mail me my clothes. You'd be out of there. It's okay to stop liking someone. Unless, of course, you're into that sort of thing. Which, that's fine. No judgments here, you freak. As far as Don Lemon, be honest. Did you really like him all that much to begin with? I would talk more about Don Lemon, but I'm not clear on the whole story with him. There seems to be different plots with Don Lemon. He got fired because of things he said to Nikki Haley or some other guest or how he was in a particular interview with the guest, but then he also got fired because of this article in Variety where past former co-workers female co-workers had said that he was not very nice to them. So I don't know what the real reason was that Don Lemon was fired, or I would talk about it more. I had a listener send me an interview, but honestly, I just haven't had a chance to watch it. So I don't want to talk out of turn with Don Lemon. I just don't know enough about it. I'm not excusing anything. If it turns out there's some information out there that I'm not aware of, I'm not excusing anything that we now know he did. And I'm also not condemning anything, because, like I said, I just don't know enough about it. So don't think I'm not talking about him for any other reason than I just don't know enough about the story. But either way, what I can say is remain consistent. The same thing I said about Tucker Carlson. It's okay to stop liking him. If you like Don Lemon or you supported him because he was one of the few black primetime cable news hosts, okay. But if it turns out he was practicing some form of misogyny at work, or he wasn't very nice to female coworkers, or whatever, then same thing, consistency. It's okay to stop liking him. Let's move on, though. Now that Joe Biden has formally announced he's running for re-election, let me talk about that. Let me talk about the matchup that the media keeps telling us no one wants to see, Biden versus Trump. Give a listen to this.
As Biden prepares to formally announce his campaign for a second term early this week, just one in four Americans believe he should run for re-election. 70% say he shouldn't run. By the way, only 35% believe Donald Trump should run again. 60% say no. Only 5% of Americans actually want both of these gentlemen to run. And let me show you even more of this poll. 53% of 2020 Biden voters say he shouldn't run. 64% of Democrats who voted for Sanders or Warren in the 2020 primaries think he shouldn't run. And 76% of voters under 35 think he shouldn't run. And what's the top concern for that? We asked voters. We didn't prompt them. We said, why don't you think he should run? Well, these were the responses. It almost is all about his age and his ability to do the job. Again, these are among Democratic primary voters. Overall, the president's job rating is not in a good place when you're seeking re-election, sitting at just 41%.
That's Chuck Todd from MSNBC. How does he not get fired? Did he save the life of an executive at MSNBC and now they owe him or something? I mean, he has got the worst delivery. It doesn't matter if he's reading a story about the first day of spring or telling you 260 puppies died today when an airplane crashed into their animal shelter. Okay, we'll have to leave it there, because if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Biden versus Trump. Nobody wants it. They want different candidates. Now, I have to say this, at the risk of sounding like I'm lecturing, I have to say this. If Donald Trump becomes president again, it will be because progressive Democrats and moderate Republicans put him there. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it again. If Donald Trump becomes president again, it will be because progressives and moderate Republicans put him there. Just like they did the first time. The Republicans who say, I don't like Trump, but I can never vote for a Democrat, so I'll sit it out. Or I'll vote for a third party. The progressives who say, no, give us another choice. Give us our perfect choice. Give us Bernie. Or give us Alexandria, I wish my laptop was powered by hamsters, Ocasio-Cortez. Give us another choice. We're not happy with the choice we have. If you consider yourself a progressive, a liberal, a Democrat, far left, center left, moderate, and you believe Donald Trump and the Republican Party represent the end of democracy and fascism and an existential crisis for America, like I continue to hear them say every day, you should be willing to vote for a cardboard cutout of Joe Biden. You shouldn't care whether his policies line up exactly with your policies, his policies on corporations or his policies on immigration or his policies on LGBTQ or his policies on anything. Biden should be able to tell you he's a Mandalorian and still get your vote. It shouldn't matter. How can the Democrats make the same mistake three times? Three times. They did it with Hillary and Bernie. Then they did it again with Joe and Bernie. Now they want to do it again with Joe and fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. They don't even know. They just want someone else. Robert Kennedy Jr. announces he's running. They give him 15%. He's 15% in the polls. He hasn't even said what he'll do. He hasn't even said what his policies, his platforms, his ideas are. He's already polling at 15% in the Democratic Party. They don't care. Just give us somebody else. Someone younger. Someone feistier. Someone prettier. Someone blacker. I don't know. They just want somebody else. I think they think it makes them appear to be smart. Oh, we're very deliberative in our decisions over here. We're not like the Republicans. We want to consider all of our options. But don't worry. We'll coalesce around the nominee when the time comes. Same mistake. Same mistake they keep making. It damages the eventual nominee, and it splits the party. No matter how much they think it won't, it always does. When Bernie Sanders eventually showed up at the Democratic convention to put Hillary's name in as the nominee, he looked like someone just spritzed cologne on him at the JCPenney cosmetics counter. He looked miserable. And the people who voted for him in the primary looked miserable. They didn't want to accept Hillary. And then they ended up taking that misery into the voting booth and voted either third party or left the selection blank for president, costing Hillary Clinton the election. Look, I know a lot of people don't want to hear this. I know a lot of people don't like it. But if you listen to some of the other people out there who are more qualified than me, that maybe you trust more than me, you know better than me, any one of them will tell you the best chance Trump has of getting the Republican nomination is if there is a large primary, a lot of candidates for him to run against. It dilutes the vote and allows him to win primaries in states with just 25%, 30%. Well, if the Republicans look over and they see an unbeatable Joe Biden because the party is firmly behind him, they'll think twice about jumping in, shrinking that Republican party, that Republican primary. Now, instead of having 15 people potentially running in a Republican primary, now maybe you'll just have 4 or 5 because Joe Biden appears to be unbeatable because the polls, rather than showing what they're showing now, are showing him to be unbeatable. This has happened before. I'm not making this stuff up. It happened when Barack Obama ran for re-election. Republicans desperately wanted Chris Christie to jump in and run in that race. But Chris Christie, to his credit, realized Barack Obama was going to be very, very difficult to beat. The Democratic base was firmly behind Barack Obama. He was polling extremely well among Democrats. Nobody on the Democratic side was looking to primary Barack Obama in his reelection bid. And so Chris Christie wisely said, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to run in the primary because even if I get the nomination, the chances are I can't beat Barack Obama. So this has happened before. But what Democratic voters are doing now is opening the door for people to jump into the race for president, which at best allows a surprise candidate to get in and get attention and be a serious challenge to Biden. And at worst, it paves the way for Trump. And for anyone who says, no big deal, no big deal, Trump can't win. Were you alive in 2016? I'm going to have to leave it there. But can't leave you without the suggestions, ideas, and solutions. I'm gonna give you two under the heading of suggestions, solution, and ideas. Number one, someone has got to go to George W. Bush, General Kelly, the former chief of staff for Trump, H.R. McMaster, General Mattis. Would they work as Secretary of Defense, I believe, those guys? Anyone on the Republican side who either worked in the Trump administration or has some cachet on the Republican side, they have got to speak up. It is time. It is far past time for them to speak up. Someone has got to go talk to them. I wish we still had a Colin Powell around. You know, Colin Powell could be a Republican who could go and sit down with these other Republicans and say, guys, it's time to speak up. No more of this occasional, you know, backhanded swipe at Trump, barely even mentioning his name, barely even letting people know you're talking about Trump. They have to seriously speak out about what a danger it would be to reelect Trump. And they got to do it now. Don't wait for him to get the nomination and try and do it. It's going to be too late then. because now the Republican donor base is going to feel the need to throw all their support and weight behind Trump. So it has to happen now before he gets the nomination. Now, I see Dick Cheney, of all people, speaking out recently. So good for him. It needs to be more people, it needs to be loud, and it needs to be consistent. Number two, under ideas, suggestions, and solutions, Democrats. You cannot call yourself the big tent party if you're not willing to compromise on who you let into the tent. Listen to this clip of Representative Ayanna Pressley at something called Netroots Nation. For people who don't know, it's a political convention for progressive political activists. All right, listen to the clip.
What I want to say, what these women have done up here, yes, I do quote Shirley Chisholm a lot, who said, if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring your own folding chair. But I've amended that because I don't want to bring a chair to an old table. This is the time to shake the table. This is the time to redefine that table. Because if you're going to come to this table, and for all of you that have aspirations of running for office, for whatever lived experience and identity that you represent, if you are not prepared to come to that table and to represent that voice, don't come. Because we don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. We don't need black faces that don't want to be a black voice. We don't need Muslims that don't want to be a Muslim voice. We don't need queers that don't want to be a queer voice. Come on, speak it.
Now, I don't want to parse her words or take her out of context, be accused of taking her out of context. I get what she's trying to say. This happens a lot with me and progressives. I get what she's trying to say. I do. If you want to go onto YouTube and go to the Netroots channel, I'm sure they have a channel. Search Ayanna Pressley. That was from 2019. I'm not going to post it to the website. Just go search it if you want to hear the entire clip of what she said. What I'm going to tell you is what I hear. Someone like myself hears. Someone who considers himself an independent voter hears. What I hear in that clip is, don't show up to the table. Don't run for office. Don't join us in our fight. If you're black, if you're brown, if you're Muslim, if you're gay, if you're whatever, unless you share our voice, unless you share our one voice. Now, how is that diversity? People of different races, religions, sexual orientation, genders that all think exactly alike is not diversity. That's called a cult. And thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to be in your cult. I don't want to come to your table if I can't speak my mind. And trust me, I got some things to say you're not going to like, such as public policy is worthless without personal responsibility. I just watched two Democratic primary debates for mayor of Philadelphia, and every candidate talked about their policies for cleaning up the city and stopping crime and what they would do if elected, what their administration would do to make people's lives better. At no point did a single candidate say, but government can't do it all. We need the citizens of Philadelphia to not treat the streets like their own personal trash can. We need citizens to work with police and see them as partners to stop crime, not the enemy. At the same time, we need the police to see citizens as exactly that, citizens deserving of respect and fair treatment. What is that, a novel idea? Citizens respecting the police and the police respecting citizens? We need neighbors to look after neighbors like they used to do. We need role models. We need consequences for people who break the law, not just walk into a retail store, take what you want, and walk out. No, people are abundantly aware of the systemic racism and the continued attacks on personal freedom and the coordinated attacks on the voting rights in this country. People are abundantly aware of the oppression of marginalized groups in this country. And I'm happy to sit down at the table and work on those things. Happy to. But where's the table where I get to yell about the other stuff in the Democratic Party? You got to have a table for that, too. You know, this is where I'm going to go off the rails here. I'm going to upset some people. I'm going to upset some people. But this is the comparison group. I got to say it. I listen to a popular talk show host, progressive talk show host. I'm nervous now for what I'm about to say. Progressive talk show host on Sirius XM. And when he talks about Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement, he says it is a movement of focus. It is not a movement of exclusion. People respond to Black Lives Matter by saying all lives matter. And he would say, of course, all lives matter. Black Lives Matter is not excluding all lives. Black Lives Matter is calling for focus on Black lives, because that is where the problem is. Focus on the problem. So for representatives like Ayanna Pressley to ignore some of the problems in the Black community is plain wrong. It's just wrong. She cannot get up on a stage and talk about the coordinated attacks and the systemic this and the systemic that without at the same time focusing on some of the problems that are unique to the Black community. And we know what they are. We don't want to talk about them, but we know what they are. You sure as heck don't want the Republican Party to talk about them, because you know how they're going to talk about them. So we don't want to hear it from the Republican Party, but we also don't want to hear it from the Democratic Party. Well, if you don't talk about it, the lack of role models, people having babies that shouldn't be having babies, the gun violence, if you don't want to talk about it, how's it ever going to get fixed? So Representative Ayanna Pressley, please tell me where that table is in your tent and I'll be there. If you don't have one, you better get one fast, or you're going to leave a whole lot of people outside that tent that you didn't need to. Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? I didn't say anything wrong, did I? I didn't say anything I shouldn't be allowed to say, right? People get nervous because they don't know if I'm Black or white. Should I be saying stuff like that? Don't worry. I can pass for Mexican. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the show. I appreciate it. Don't forget to rate it too. Here's what we got to do. Let me give you the list. You got to share it. You got to rate it. And then you got to follow or subscribe for free so you can get notifications when new shows come out. All right? That's your list of things to do. Easy peasy greasy. Take care of that for me and I'll be very happy. And so will you. You'll be happy because you'll be part of the comparison group. And one day, when we grow this group, they're going to look at us and they're going to say, those are the people that changed the whole direction of society. Those are the people that saved America from itself. The comparison group. Or I'll stop doing this podcast next month. It could go either way. I'll see you next time. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, rate the show, share the show, follow the show. Visit the website, www.thecomparisongroup.com. I'll never tell you again.